welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
And today we have a very special guest. We have our friend Max on the podcast of Well Done Books. You might remember him back when he used to make YouTube videos. Say hi, Max.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
We are so excited as well. Of all my friends, I think Max has probably the best taste in books, so I've been like dying to get you on the podcast for a very long time.
Yeah, that's high praise.
We were literally saying that before we recorded, we were like, we gotta ask Max, because let's be honest, he has the best reading taste of anyone we know.
Seriously, I love that you read such a wide variety of books, so I feel like I'm very interested to see what kind of books we're going to talk about today. Before we jump into things, just maybe introduce yourself, tell us how the world might know you.
I mean, I feel like it makes sense to explain how we all know each other.
Yeah.
Since we all started on YouTube.
We did.
Specifically BookTube, though. I think that by the time I joined, it was sort of a term, but like you guys started well before it was like an actual category of YouTube.
Yeah. I remember the like shopping phase while people were calling it different things. Like there were some people who were really attached to BookTubia.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that one.
That's funny.
I
feel like people were calling it like their BookTube. Like, this is my BookTube. Do you remember, like, did you ever, instead of like their channel?
100%. 100%.
I just always felt like it sounded odd. Like, I couldn't get on board with that. It just didn't make sense to me, but...
Yeah, totally.
I started in late 2013, so I think just a couple years after you guys, but...
Yeah.
And I was trying to think the other day, like, how did we actually meet? Because I know we've all met in person and stuff, but we obviously knew each other online before that, and I feel like... I met you, Raylene, somehow through probably a review or like a video,
and then we just started chatting. It all starts with just like finding a book review or whatever, and then you just bump into each other and start commenting on each other's videos all the time, and then suddenly you're friends. Like it's a very interesting way of meeting people, but I think it's probably something like that.
Something like that. I think I found BookTube through Sana, who was one of your guests a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
I think that summer I got like really into reading because I've always been a big reader, but there was like a summer during college where I was like, I want to like read for fun because I'm tired of, I love reading. I did an English degree and like, I love reading, but I was like, I want to find like what my reading taste is. And I think I looked up honestly a book review of, I don't even know what it was, but she had a book review, which now I feel like people don't do as much. I still watch a lot of BookTube, but it's not as common to do like standalone, but that's how it started. And I think that's how you over time, like not to get into the like math of BookTube views or whatever, but like I think that those are the things that pull like non-viewers in, because they're looking like I was for like a book review of a book, and I think Google served up like a video as a suggestion, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I found this like small at the time like community, and so I started making videos, and then over like 5 years of doing that, I just got really tired of video editing because it's not really my passion. Like making videos itself is not something I'm passionate about. I just really liked the community and the way that people were able to like connect more than just like a blog post or something, which has its place too.
Like putting a face and a voice to
And I got to meet people, you know, like you guys through that, which I think is the obviously the best part of the whole thing, along with the books that I've found through it. But I was making videos and then I just got tired of it, so I stopped. But I still keep doing Instagram, because prior to YouTube I love photography, and like in high school and into early college I did photography, so I found like that was a really good outlet, because you can write a short review or like a blurb or thought about a book, but also get creative, and like taking a picture of a book can be really simple or it can be really fun, and like you can get in like creative with it. So I still kind of do that on the side. Very avid Goodreads reviewer. I like cataloging things, so I kind of enjoy Instagram as that way too. Like I was scrolling back to like the beginnings of mine the other day, which was like I started my Instagram in like 2014 or early 2014, and like one of my first posts was like The Goldfinch, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's when I read that book. Like it's been it's been like over 7 years of my reading life, like cataloged from not just other people but for myself mostly to like look back on. So that's me.
Big book guy.
Big book guy.
Well, that's awesome. We are super happy to have you on the podcast, and before we jump into our recommendations, we've got a bunch of, you know, questions for you that we just need to you know, to get to know you a little bit better. So the first question we have for you is, I know it's a really hard one, but who is your favorite author?
You guys give the toughest this is like such a tough question, and I feel like I had like a mini existential crisis, like thinking like, how do you even define, which maybe you can help me figure this answer out, yeah. But like, how do you define favorite author? Because is it like the author of your favorite book, even if like maybe that author as a whole like isn't your favorite, or is it the author you've read the most from, even if they're not all your, like, I've read like 15 Anne Tyler books, but like I wouldn't probably call any of them in my top 10 favorite books, but I like love her work. But I give a lot of her books like 3.5 stars because it's just like I'm comfortable and I know what it's going to be and I like it. But then there's other authors where I've given every rating under the sun to them and I'm like, is that, I don't know. So I think
it's a hard thing to judge. It's a really hard. I would say probably if there's an author that you've read 2 or more books of that you've really enjoyed, I would maybe consider that person a favorite author. Like, I consider Stephen King to be one of my favorite authors. I've read like 40 or 50 of his books or something, but I haven't loved all of them by any means. But there are like 5 that I love so much. Yeah. So I feel like it counts.
That, you know, I have this huge grin on my face, which obviously they can't, no one listening to this can see that because podcasting is not a visual medium, but I have this huge grin on my face because I'm like, we're sitting here with a real reader. Max is just like, we need to break down the definition of a favorite author, and I'm so like ready to do that. Yeah, I think there's so many different ways to take that. For me, it feels very obvious who my favorite author is. So maybe if I contextualize why I feel that way, that might give a clue as to how I think of it. And clearly, it's George Orwell. Everyone, there's 8,000 people just gasped. They were like, what? but like, it's George Orwell because every time I read his books, I feel like I'm my brain is connected with his brain. Like, I feel like he sees the world in such a similar way to how I see the world. And obviously, it was 100 years ago, so not everything is the exact same. But like, it just feels like this brain connection. And I also have this thing where I will experience something and I'll be like, what would George Orwell do right now? So it's also a bit, he's like a bit of a guide. He's like a figure who lives in my head. Oh, George. I think that is a lot harder to do with a contemporary author because that person is actually around and like existing in the world and giving content outside of the text.
Yeah. I think, that's exactly what I think of. Like, I feel like a favorite author when I was thinking about this isn't necessarily one where I love every book they read or write or I've not necessarily read all of their books, but it's like one whose worldview, like you were saying, like when I read it, I'm like, that resonates with me, but it still challenges me. Like, it's not just, I love this book by them, so they're my favorite author. It's like, how do they like see the world and how does it like reflect and also challenge me? 100%. So I don't know. 100%. I think that, I mean, I love a lot of different authors. Like, I feel like if we were going off of the definition that Raylene said, like, I really like Celeste Ng. Both of her books, she only has 2 novels out, and I loved both of them and gave them both 5 stars and like will read whatever she writes, and I feel like when I read her books I'm like, this just like clicks. But if you had asked me this without critically thinking about it, like, I wouldn't, that wouldn't have come to mind as like the first person that I think of. Like, I think of like James Joyce or I don't know, like so many other authors where I'm like, I feel like I have more substantial grasp on like who they are as an author, probably because they've been around for longer. So there's more to like think about and dwell on. So, but I think this might be a recurring theme today, but I think my new one, I've just kind of like realized I want to read more of and could probably be like a lifelong favorite is John Steinbeck.
Oh, yeah. What did you, wait, well, I don't know if this is going to spoil anything, but did you read something recently?
I don't think so.
That has anything that you've read recently like really elevated him?
Yeah, I just finished reading the other day Of Mice and Men, which is like one of those classic novels that apparently like tons of people read in high school or whatever, which reading it at like late 20s now, I'm like, I'm glad I waited because I probably wouldn't have appreciated the nuance and like the, it's such a simple story, but it's like so deep and beautiful and sad and like all these things. And I'm like, not surprised. Like, why was I surprised that I loved it so much? Like, it's Of Mice and Men. But then you do hear like 15-year-olds who are like, oh, I had to read that book for school and I hated it. And I'm like, that's also a valid like feeling to have. But also I just read it and I was like, dang, he's so good. And this isn't the first book by him I've read. So that's where when I read that, I was like, okay, I really need to prioritize like reading more of his books because I know every time I've read a book of his, like I've really enjoyed it or like appreciated and seen the value that he brings to like literature as a whole. Like, I just think, and he's from California and I'm from California, and he writes so much about the land, like California landscape, so I think that also resonates, like even though his characters and stories aren't relatable to me per se, like he just has these deep like themes that I feel like I can not relate to, but just like recognize. And like, I don't know. And his writing is just amazing. So I think I won't say he's my favorite author right now, but like, I really love him. And I think he could become like,
he could, yeah, one of my, he's, yeah, he's moving in across the field.
Yes.
That's kind of a fun,
so check back in. Yeah.
That and, like, is, it's an exhilarating feeling. Cause you're sort of like, oh my God, I'm on the cusp of perhaps something great, something really important to me.
Yeah.
Thinking through what you were just saying as well, though, I think maybe one of the ways that I define a favorite author is when I get really excited about their life outside of their writing. And so, for example, with my man George, I like have a couple biographies about him, and I'm like, I plan on reading those, and I look forward to reading it. And yeah, I just, in the episode we recorded before this, I have to show you this 700-page biography of Lucy Maud Montgomery.
Gosh.
And I'm just like, I haven't even read of Anne of Green Gables, but that aside, I'm really fascinated. This is why I thought of this, though, because, you know, she's from Atlantic Canada, and she was writing about Atlantic Canada in a way that not many people were at the time, and has been a chronicler of this section of Canada. And I'm just like excited about what they were doing and kind of what their work meant for the literature scene as a whole as well.
Yeah.
Oh man. We should probably move on to the next question, because we're going to be all we have to get you back. You know what? I think that Max, you should be a reoccurring guest, and we should have like breakdown episodes where we just like discuss,
ask a question and break it down.
What is a favorite author?
I'm so here for it. Yeah. I love nerding out on anything book or writing related. So yeah. I'm here for it.
Well, the next hardest question we could possibly ask you is, what is your favorite book?
Yikes.
That's this one actually was a little bit easier for me.
Oh, okay. So,
because to me, like, books stick in my brain more than like the author necessarily. So yeah, like with authors, I feel like I had like a long list of like, these are people that I will read whatever they put out, or I want to read all of their books. And like, so they're all favorites. But like, it was easier for me to distill this down, because I think for the last like 5 or 6 years, and I remember you guys saying that you like to get the books to show each other, so I did my best to do that for you guys, is The Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón. I read this probably 6 or 7 years ago, and every year after that, like every May for whatever reason, I read this book, and for like 4 or 5 years, and it just like never got old. And I just love this book. It's like a book about books, so of course like that feeds that readerly desire to like read about readers and libraries and bookshops and stuff. But yeah, this is probably right now in my life my number one favorite book that don't even like to recommend to people, because I love it that much that I'm like, I'd rather just like not know how people feel if they don't if they don't like this book.
I think one of the funny things about like getting friends from YouTube and Bookland is that I so strongly associate certain book covers with certain friends. And so I will see a book in a bookshop, and my mind doesn't even really think about it as a book. My mind's like, that's Raylene's book. And that book is one that is a Max book. Like, whenever I see it in a bookshop, I'm like, oh, that's Max's book. It must just be so, like, literally just seeing you hold it up a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like, that must have been it.
Exactly. It's associated in your mind now.
I do the same exact thing. Like you in 1984, or like Whitney and the Tahereh Mafi books.
Yes,
like, I just feel like from
very
back in the day, for people who are listening that don't know, but like there's people that you follow on BookTube or Instagram too, like that have the books that they love and talk. Of course, you're going to talk about the books you love the most, or every chance you can get. So I'm honored that that is, because that's, at this point, that's probably my number one book. It's just easier to like make that my number one and not be like,
just
here's my list of 100 favorite books. But yeah. There's a lot more, but
good
I'll just
answer.
Keep it short
with
that answer.
I always think of you when I see The Goldfinch, so that's another one.
Oh, I do love that one, too.
That's a good one. Okay, and now this is an interesting question, because it might be completely different from the authors and books you've talked about already, but what is your favorite genre to read, if you had to pick just one?
I think probably just, like, contemporary fiction, like, like modern literary fiction, just stuff that's come out in the last 30 years that's, like, I don't know. I don't like saying prize winning, because that makes it sound like I'm like, oh, it only can, I can only read it if it's won a prize. But like things that generally get nominated because there is a focus on not just the writing, but like what is it contributing to like the current state of literature, which sounds really pretentious. But I just think like that kind of stuff. But I do try to just read anything that interests me, regardless of what genre it is. Mm-hmm. I do love to read YA fantasy. I like to read, you know, poetry and plays. Like, I try not to limit it to a certain genre, but just what, if a book sounds good to me, I'm trying to get in the habit of not checking what its rating is on Goodreads, because if it's like, yeah, if it sounded interesting to me, like, I should want to read it regardless, or read the first few pages and be like, yes or no, I'm going to enjoy this book. But I think probably most common genre that I do just tend to gravitate towards is like modern literary fiction.
Yeah,
that's what I
were gonna say. That
that's what I feel from your Instagram.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, our next question, and you, I know you're a listener of the podcast, so you know what a mashed potato book is, but our question for you is, what is your most recent mashed potato book, either one that you have finally conquered and read, or one that has just been sitting on your shelf for a long time, meaning to read forever? And since Ariel always makes me do this when we have guest episodes, please explain for the people out there, what is a mashed potato book?
So thankfully, it's very easy for everyone to just go back and listen to episode 2, right at the beginning of the lore. That's where it all started. I don't know actually, I should go back and listen to it so I better understand our own mythology, but I don't remember exactly what book we were talking about, but me and Raylene were just talking about this phenomenon that happens where you get so excited about certain books, but you keep putting them off, and it's sort of like, what is that? So we were trying to figure out a way to kind of give that a term, and we were thinking about, like, when you sit down to a meal that you love, for example, turkey dinner at Christmas or Easter, the universal good meal, or good portion of that meal, is the mashed potatoes. Like, who doesn't love mashed potatoes? It's funny too, because I'm sure there's loads of people out there who don't. It's like a very, very specific to Raylene and Ariel like meal.
We love mashed potatoes.
But yeah, it's like that thing that you're so excited to eat it, but you keep putting it off because you want to save it. And by the time you get to it, you're either like, I should have just had this all along. Or you think to yourself, oh my God, now it's getting cold and it's just adding anxiety to the situation. So does that make sense? No. Is it
does.
Important? Yes.
I think it makes sense.
Very much so.
My most recent mashed potato book is one that I actually conquered.
Oh.
I finally consumed it.
We need like a round of applause sound effect here every time someone conquers a mashed potato book.
Yeah, you need a soundboard like the DJs on like radio
that have, exactly,
like, sound effects, and then you can like put the air horn in when someone says something like that. You mic drop.
That's a great idea.
My mashed potato book, keeping with the theme actually, was East of Eden by John Steinbeck.
Okay, that's so cool.
I finally read it.
I got Grapes of Wrath a couple weeks ago, maybe now months ago.
I think it's been months.
Yeah, it was definitely months ago. Time in this pandemic vacuum means nothing, but I picked it up. I got this really great cover and edition of it, and I keep wanting to pick it up, but I'm scared of it because it's so long. But now you're really convinced.
You got to do it. I mean, that's one I have not read yet, so, you know, there's a chance for us to read and discuss possibly. But yeah, I had that book since before I even started BookTube, so I probably 2012-13. Wow. And the frustrating part, and this is why it was a mashed potato book, I read it last fall, like 2020, so it was there on my shelf for like 7 years, and the reason it was a mashed potato book is because I read like 3/4 of it in like 2013. Why? No, that far?
No,
like, I don't, no. This was before I was like really avidly reading, so I can't even remember like why. Yeah. I think it was just one of those things where I was kind of getting into reading again, and I was like, I'm gonna read East of Eden. Like, this is a book that everyone says is like one of their favorite books. Like, I feel like a lot of people I went to college with, that was like their favorite book of all time, and so I was like, okay, that's like high praise. And like Mumford and Sons was really trendy, and if you don't know that, one of their songs is like inspired by a big part of this book.
Oh, okay.
So they songs or whatever. So it was just like, oh, I've heard of this, I need to read it. And it's like John Steinbeck. Yeah. At the time, I don't think I'd read anything by him except maybe like one short story or something. So I read like 3/4 of it. I think it was over summer break, and I think probably what happened was I just like went back to school, and like it fell to the wayside, and then I never picked it back up.
Didn't finish.
And then I was like, well, now I can't just like pick it. It was long enough that I was like, if I'm gonna do this, I need to start over. And that just always felt so daunting, because this one's even bigger than Grapes of Wrath. It's like 600 or 700 pages. And I remembered liking it enough that I was like, I do want to read this someday, but it just never was the right time. And I let those mashed potatoes get cold. But then last fall, I was like, there's no time like the present. We're stuck inside. it's a 600-page book. I can do this. And I enjoyed it. I really liked it. It's not my favorite thing he's written, which, or that I've read, I should say, but I really liked it. Like, I still understand why people love it so much. I think the length and, like, probably the history I have with that book, like, by the end, I was just like, thank goodness I'm done with this book.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the reading, like, process, and his writing is amazing. But that was my most recent one, which just coincidentally connected. Because then between then and now, there was no reason why I just randomly picked up Of Mice and Men. It wasn't like I was on a giant Steinbeck kick, but now I might be, because my library, the good thing about having a classic author that has a ton of books is like my library has like every single one of them. So I'm like, can get all these on my Kindle, like in the matter of, and like, they're not sought after like a new release. No. So I'm like, I can get like every one of his books right now from the library. So I do actually think I'm going to make an effort to try to read more of him this year, and hopefully not have more mashed potato books.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. When we hear these success stories, it you know what? It gives us all hope. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I too can read East of Eden and not die. It'd be great. Fantastic. Well, the next question we have for you is, what is the last great book you read?
Oh, I love this
another
question.
One other than Of Mice and Men.
I know. I was going to say, my answer I prepared before I read Of Mice and Men over the weekend. So other than that one, because that was the last like 5-star, which I feel like is the book that, like, I don't give 5 stars a lot, not because I don't think there's great books, but I just feel like 5-star is more than just, like, this book was good. It was, like, something about it, the experience was memorable, too. So the other one I have is Ray Bearer by Jordan Ifweko, which is a YA fantasy inspired by, like, West African, like, legend and folklore. And it's the first in a duology, which I think is nice. It's not going to be, like, a long trilogy, and it's not even that long of a fantasy, honestly, but it is so much happens in like 350 pages, and she manages to build a world that's so like rich without like dumping it all on you. The general premise is like, it starts somewhat like the Chosen One type of fantasy, like she's a young girl and something's different about her, but it's not so much like, it makes sense with how the story progresses, like why she is the way she is, rather than like, I don't know, like Katniss in the Hunger Games. Like, yeah, she's a great heroine, but it's like, she doesn't necessarily have, like, exactly. She doesn't have, like, a destiny, I guess. Because it's fantasy. Right. Like, there's this sort of, like, fate and destiny that's, like, that is outside of her control. And basically the premise is, like, she's commanded by her mother, who's, like, this mysterious figure that she only sees once in a while. Like, she's kept kind of in the confines of this compound and raised kind of in isolation. And her mom is sort of mysterious, and one day her mom like basically says like, you're going to infiltrate the like royal palace, like you're going to become one of the prince's what would you call it, like his second in command type of a thing. There's like a there's like a board of people that the prince like uses as his like voice of reason, and you're going to get a membership on that, and then you're going to kill the prince. And that's all, like, and it's like not a choice, it's like a magical like curse on her, and so it's about this like young girl from like, I think the book starts when she's like 5 or 6 to like 16. The first book alone kind of jumps through that time, but it never feels like a jump, like you're not missing pieces. And yeah, it just has amazing magic system and really great characters and like really interesting fantasy elements that I've never really seen done before. And it's a YA fantasy, but, and that's not to say there aren't good YA fantasy out there, but it doesn't feel like I don't know, it doesn't feel like on the same level as other it feels kind of in between adult and YA. So if you're like looking to bridge that gap, it's a really good one. And the sequel comes out in August and then it's over, so I think that's kind of nice too. It's fantastic.
That's soon.
I think you'd really like it, Raylene.
Well, I'm convinced.
I don't know, Ariel, I know you're not as much of a fantasy person, but
no,
I think
it's
Raylene
always,
would really,
I mean,
like it.
It's always good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cover, is really cool too.
And the
it's
British like covers are also really pretty, and it's really dangerous because
oh my god,
the British one is
it.
Like amazing.
Whoa.
I love both of them for different reasons. This one, the American one, definitely feels more like classic like fantasy. Sci-fi. The other one is like it almost looks like the UK one looks more, I don't know how to describe it, like like you could have that as like a poster.
Everybody should look up the covers. It's just like gorgeous art.
It's got these lions and these leaves,
and do you see her face like hidden in it? That was what got me.
Oh,
is like
my
there's
God.
A face
I didn't until
it.
You
yeah.
just said it. That's crazy. Whoa,
I know.
Okay.
Shoot. Intense. Well, our final question that we have for you before we jump into our recommendations is, what are you currently reading? I'm curious.
Yes. Well, after East of Eden, of Mice and Men, I had like a little like book hangover where I was like, dang, what do I pick up after a, you know, 5-star book? Yeah. So I gave it a day or two. And then I picked up last night, No One Is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood.
Oh my God.
My library board came in. I know, because didn't you not finish that one, Ariel? I'm not calling you out. I'm just checking in. Like, what's our status on this book?
You know, call me out. It happened. That was the reality of my life. It was my first hardcover challenge, because obviously this year we're doing a challenge where every time we buy a hardcover, we have to read it within a month. And so I started reading it, and I was so excited. Like, I went into that book thinking it was going to be 5 out of 5 stars. It, you know, based on all of the paratext, everything other than actually having read it, it just seemed like it was checked every single box. And when I started, and it actually confusing, the first 20 pages still felt that way. I was like, this is phenomenal. This is, wow. Wow. Autofiction, it's here, and it's working. And then something happened where I was like, it's not working anymore. And I just couldn't bear to keep going. But since then, I've had a lot of friends who are trying to convince me to give it another shot. So I don't know. Maybe I will give it another shot, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm only like a third of the way. Yeah, I'm only like a third of the way in. And I actually went back and reread the first like 20%. It's not very long. And I think that it was like a book where I was definitely enjoying it, but it's like, for those who don't know what it's about, I mean, it's hard to describe. It's like, it's almost like it's a bunch of tweets. Like, it's a bunch of small like insights or funny comments on like internet memes, culture, current events, definitely from the last like 2 or 3 years, from like a woman's rise to fame for tweeting like something really dumb on Twitter, or it doesn't even say the words Twitter or Facebook. It's just talking about like the social media universe as a portal, and like you enter this portal and like you become a hive mind, and it's just like very, what's the word, like experimental and like stylistic.
It's kind of surreal almost.
But it's just one of those books, I think, because each section is literally like, sometimes it's like 5 sentences, like they're very short, quick things, like you kind of want to keep going because you're like, oh, what's the next like witty, it's almost like scrolling on your phone, like you kind of like, I don't want to keep going, but I also need to see what, like, what if I, like the next thing I miss, or you know, I closed the app, the next thing was like a great thing. And it kind of comments on I like it so far because it doesn't seem to be like criticizing the internet. It's not like, oh, look at tweets and like viral stuff that people like are mindlessly consuming. Like, it does have some of that, but then it also shows like the connections that you make with people because of this like community you find. So it doesn't seem to be falling one way or the other. So, I mean, I'm only like a third of the way through, but I'm fascinated by the writing. And she's a poet, the author, and you can definitely tell because she just is able to make a quick funny joke or like a really like insightful comment on culture, especially if you're plugged into the internet culture, in like really short, like quick ways. And you can tell she's a poet because it's like she doesn't have to over explain herself. And I think a lot of it's going over my head because it's like some of it's like about memes or viral moments on the internet from the last few years that maybe I didn't catch when they happen. So like, but there's going to be stuff for everyone. And someone actually sent me an article on Goodreads after I updated about it. And it was like a LitHub post about like all of the allusions in her book. So you can actually see every, because it is, like you said, autofiction, which I don't know if I would have known if it wasn't like kind of blurred that way, but it is based on real things. And like, she refers to Trump as like dictator. She never says common like proper names. She just refers to things that happen like in a way that if you know what happened in real life, you'll catch on, and if you don't, you'll still enjoy it, but it won't have the same level of like insider information. But I'm curious where it's gonna go. I mean, it's a quick read and it's really, it's kind of funny and like biting, but still kind of I've heard the second half is a lot different, so I'm curious to see where it goes from here. How far did you get in, and like what was the moment where you were like, I don't want to finish this? Because that's fair. I'm just curious like what it was.
Yeah, because it is, it's so short too. It's only like 250 pages. So that's another reason where I'm like, maybe I should just give it a shot, because it's not going to take me that long to get through it. I think I made it to page 80.
Okay, that's like about where I'm at right
now. So you might, yeah, you might be, I think it sounds like you're about right around where I stopped. I just started to feel, because so I agree with so much of what you're saying, but I think what I started to feel was, it was pithy line after pithy line, each of which I thought could be a fantastic quote in and of itself. But without any context, I was starting to find it grating.
Yeah.
I was starting to find it like, you know, like, I get it. I get what you're doing. I get the trick, right? I understand this trick. Now let's move on. And, yeah. But where is the depth? And like, I've obviously read articles and stuff that are so excited about how the form is commenting on the content, because it's like, exactly like you said, like, these are like short Twitter posts, mm-hmm. and it's like commenting on how we have short attention spans now. And I'm like, yeah, but that's the great part about books. They don't have to be like that. I'm like, we actually can get context, and I think I would have loved if it still had that, because she's really good at it, but then it had also had some longer paragraphs and a bit more plot. Yeah. It's so hard to figure out what's going on in the book.
It's like, I read a blurb that's like, she's traveling, and then I just like, she's getting invited to these like speaking engagements because of her viral like posts and her becoming sort of like a social media, like a Twitter comic, basically. Yeah. She's kind of like acerbic and like very like outspoken on Twitter, but like, to that's the extent of her like expertise. And then it wasn't until I read that and that time was passing, and then I noticed like, okay, there's some sections about Thanksgiving, and the next kind of like chunk was about Christmas, and I was like, oh, okay, we're like following a person like in a certain time frame, because otherwise it definitely feels like you could literally just pull a section out and put it on, like, I posted a quote on Goodreads, and like that by itself works as just a standalone, like almost like a flash fiction. But when you string them all together, I was like, it does take like a third of the book to be like, oh, okay, we're like following like, and I kind of know, I don't want to spoil, I don't know if it's a spoiler, because I don't know if I read this in an article or if it's on the blurb of the book, but like, she has a sister who's pregnant, and that becomes important like later on in the book.
Yes.
And
I'm pretty sure that's in the blurb, but okay. I don't think that's a spoiler, because it's, and everyone's talking about how like something happens there, that might be a spoiler, so I won't say it, but like something happens there that snaps her out of this portal way of thinking. Oh. And so the second half of the novel is supposed to, you know, everyone's calling it a book of two parts.
Yes.
And so I'm curious to get to that second part, but it was just driving me crazy. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think if it wasn't so
I think I want to read
this. Yeah, I was going to say, I think because it's such a well-written book, like the observations have made me like laugh out loud, which doesn't happen a lot, because I'm like, dang, culture and like meme culture, like some of her thought, like it's just very quick and then the sentence ends and it moves on and you're like, that is so accurate. If it wasn't that good, I think I would get tired of like the shtick of like, okay, we get it, it's a meme thing. But she's just very like, she hooks you every once in a while with a really good like observation.
Like reading it, I was sort of like, I feel like so many of her thoughts are so valuable and interesting, and I wish that it was just in a different format. So I'm like, in no way writing Patricia Lockwood off. I'm sort of like, I need to check out Priest Daddy.
It's great.
I don't know anything about that, but like, I've heard great things, and I'm like, I want to look into her more, and I'm excited about what might come next.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the form worked for me. Maybe I'm, I think just that's fair. So sick of Twitter.
I was just gonna say, it could be that you just like, no more of this social media attitude. Well, that was lots of fun. Good discussion about that book, which honestly I wasn't planning on reading it after Ariel stopped reading it. Now I'm like, gosh, I'm just interested in this whole shebang now. And it, since it's a short book, like you guys have said, like I could just give it a go.
It's so short.
It
wouldn't take me very long. I feel like the audiobook is like 3.5 hours. So
I feel like that would be really hard to listen to for me, because it is so quick. Like every section is just over before, and there's no rootedness because it's like scrolling on your feed, that it would be like someone just reading a million thoughts at you at once. But I think my Kindle said it would take like 2.5 hours to read based on like reading speed or whatever. So it's very quick. Wow. And it moves quickly because it's just like thought after thought after thought. But I think it'd be interesting to talk about for sure with people, especially internet, like people who are so like a part of an internet community.
Excellent. Well, it is time that we jumped into our book recommendations. So Ariel, how about you read the first one for us?
Absolutely. The first one comes from Kelly, who says, "Hi, I run a virtual book club for a women's group, and we're always looking for great contemporary reads by women of color authors that don't have 6-month waiting lists at the library. Any recommendations for contemporary hidden gems penned by women of color would be much appreciated. Love the pod. Thank you, Kelly. Yeah, it is so much fun for Raylene and I to like find the perfect recommendations from the hundreds that we get for our guests. And it was funny because Raylene picked these three and I was like, I'll pick a couple because some of these were really hard for me. And then we sent them to you, Max, and you just picked the three that Raylene picked.
I knew exactly what
she knows
want.
Me too well. Yeah, she knows my writing taste.
Exactly. So
I just knew.
Honestly, I liked all five you sent me. It was the fact that the first two just were like shorter. So I felt like it didn't give me as much like to drive in. Because I think one of them, which you'll probably do later, was like, just give me a character driven book. And I was like, oh, I could totally do that. But these ones were so much more like, not more, I shouldn't say, but like they were very creative. And I was like, I want to be challenged with like,
it's really fun. It's really fun when people get specific and have a little bit of like a backstory. So.
Totally. Yeah. Cause sometimes you'll think of a book and then you like read another sentence from the request and you're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
It won't
work.
Yeah.
Really fun.
That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like with this one, I picked a few books and then I was like, oh shoot, this one is really popular.
Yes.
And so like, there's no way that it'll be available at the library. And I realized another one was like from the 70s. I was like, oh, that's not contemporary, you idiot. So yeah, it was fun to come up with them. But Max, why don't you go first? I'm really curious to hear what you came up with.
I came up with three, so I'll try to be brief. But cool. The first one, I guess I thought contemporary, like maybe the last 30 years. So this one's maybe a little bit old, but that means that if you find it, like no one's probably going to be fighting for it. And it's also one that I think only has like 2000 ratings on Goodreads. So it's definitely like a hidden gem. And I think that more people should read it. And that is Family by J. California Cooper. I don't really know much about this book other than I got it for $1 apparently. At a bookstore, a used bookstore. It came out in 1991, and the general premise is basically like this woman is telling this story after her death, and it's telling the story of like her daughter and multiple generations of her family. It's by a Black woman, and it's about like a family that has slavery in their like family history. And so it's a hard book to read, but it would make a really interesting book club discussion. It's not it's also not like super it has strong elements to it, but it's not like, I don't know how to describe it, it's not like so graphic that you can't read it. If that, I don't want to scare people away that are like, is this going to be too disturbing? Like if that is a topic that you don't want to read about, then totally like feel free to skip this one. But if you're like interested in learning more and hearing from like an interesting perspective, it's like her ghost is telling this story, so there's this idea of like you're in this like liminal space and like she's kind of floating above it all, but also very grounded in it because it's her family. But I just wanted to include this one because it's not one that I've ever really heard anyone talk about.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
That sounds really... Can you say the title name again?
It's just called Family.
Oh, just called Family. Okay, cool.
And the author is J. California Cooper.
California. That's a cool name. I don't think I've ever... That's so cool. One thing I just mention here. Sometimes we get people who are asking, like, can you say the names of books, the books that you mentioned more? And just so that everyone knows, we list all of the books that get mentioned in every episode on our website. So if you are ever like, oh, what was that book? You can just go to the website and it's right there. So we started doing that from like episode 2 because we were like, yeah, you're right. You guys need, like, us saying it isn't as helpful as you actually being able to read it. So just so the listeners out there know, Max is going to talk about some cool books and you can just go look at the list if you're curious.
Yes.
All right. What else do you have?
The other two are more contemporary and I think they both won the National Book Award, coincidentally. One is Salvage the Bones by Jesmyne Ward. Mm. Again, this one is more than Family. This one is definitely has like some hard to read elements, but it's essentially following a 14-year-old girl in like the 10 or so days leading up to Hurricane Katrina. And it's like from her perspective in, it's just extremely like atmospheric. Like you feel like you're in this situation with them as like tensions are rising and they know some, like a storm is brewing literally. And like everything in her life is sort of the same way. Like things are coming to a big explosive ending. And it's just like, it's a book that I keep thinking about over time because it's like the reading experience of the chapters, each chapter follows a progressive day leading up to the hurricane. So like as you get closer, like it definitely gets more intense. If you like her writing, she has a lot of other books, so like she's I feel that's like cool. A pretty well-loved contemporary author, and yeah, don't just take my word for it, because it won the National Book Award as well.
And we love awards here on this podcast. We always have, and we always will.
Yeah, I know you guys are like very into following, you know, book awards lately, so
yeah, it's kind of our thing.
Long-term obsession since I was born, really. I cared.
And the last one is An American Marriage. This one might be harder to get your hands on because it is more recent and popular, but I think it's also a few years past the like hump of everyone going to read it. But dang, this book is amazing. The general premise is a husband and wife are at a hotel, or like a motel, and the husband gets accused of a crime that he didn't commit by another person at the hotel, and he gets sent to prison for like 5 years. And in that time, the wife is like grappling with what that means to be like separated from him, but also knowing he didn't commit the crime. And
right,
I don't think it's a spoiler to say like she makes a connection with someone else during that time, and what happens when he unexpectedly gets released because they find out that it wasn't him, and like how do they grapple with this? So it's like, it's just an amazing story.
I know, this is a series of nightmares.
It's very stressful.
I feel like I just recommended three really like possibly harrowing books, and I didn't realize that. But again, I think I tend to lean towards books that are a little more on the hard hitting side. Yeah. So, but yeah, they're all very well written, and like, will I think for book clubs, they might be polarizing, which is always fun because you have more to talk about when people feel strongly, positively or negatively about them.
Yeah,
that's a great recommendation. I will also say the audiobook for An American Marriage is very good. So if people can't get their hands on the actual book, the audiobook is a great alternative. That's how I read it. And it was incredible.
Sweet.
So. Do you know who narrated that one? Is it Bonnie Turpin?
I don't remember.
I wish that everyone could have seen Raylene's face palm. It was really intense. I really hope
that... It whacked my headset and it made so much noise inside of my head. I didn't enjoy that. No, I'd have to look up. I'm not sure who the narrator... I'm really bad when I listen to audiobooks. I don't really look up the narrators. And I feel bad about it later because I'm like, but I really liked that narrator. I should like know who it is. But yeah, it was really good. But Ariel, what did you pick for this one?
Thanks. I feel like you just passed the mic over. Thanks,
Miranda. I did. I sent it your way because I shook my head up and I'm not ready yet.
I think this is just kind of a random side note, but I think that's a really interesting point you make about not looking up who the narrator is of the audiobook, because I also don't really do that unless it's the author or a celebrity. Yeah. I don't really take note usually, but... obviously we're going to talk about audiobooks next, so everyone get we're just amping everyone up, but we're in this giant moment of audiobooks. Like, I remember 10 years ago no one was reading audiobooks. It was hard to get them, they were expensive, and now there's all of these different systems in place. But what I think is really interesting, I'm like, are we going to get to a point where like audiobook narrators are really choosy, like they're like actors, so they're really choosy about the projects that they do? Because obviously there are some who are like very renowned, but yeah, it'd be really interesting to sort of be like, I love that audiobook narrator, they do the best projects. Not like that's
I think
that's
they
really
do I think they kind of do, like, not to derail the conversation, but I like one
no,
that
please,
I think
derail, because I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I don't know much, I'm not an authority by any means, but I do notice, like, I think Bonnie Turpin is her name that narrated. I think she narrated American Marriage, but if she didn't, it wouldn't surprise, or if she did, it wouldn't surprise me, because she does a lot of contemporary women of color author books. And she, if you look at her collection, and if you Google her, I feel like before being an actress, because I think she was on like The Walking Dead or something before that, like her her Audible page like pops up. Like, she is a very, and for good reason, well-loved narrator, because everything I would honestly listen to a book that I wasn't necessarily interested in if I knew she was narrating because she's so good. So I would say,
so fascinating.
Check out her.
Yeah, I just looked up her narrator page.
It's insane.
She's done so many books.
It's impressive.
However, I did look up the An American Marriage audiobook, and it wasn't Bonnie Turpin. It was Elsa Davis and Sean Crisden were the narrators.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
I remember you said there was two.
That makes sense that there'd be two, actually. But yeah.
Which is another thing I love about it. I love when audiobooks have more than one narrator to reflect the different characters. It just puts you in it more.
Yeah, when audiobooks go hard and they're like, we're gonna implement music, set design, characters, I'm like, I am here. I love the effort into a good audiobook. But I guess I should answer the question at hand.
Please do.
The book I picked is Birds, Art, Life, Death by Keogh McClear. This is one of my all-time faves. I was like, I think I have it around here. Here it is. This is the UK cover. In US slash America or slash Canada, it's published as Birds Art Life. They cut out the word death. Oh. So apparently the UK is more okay with death than we are.
Not surprising.
But this was a book I found in London. I was just at a bookshop. I was at the South Bank Foyles, if anyone cares. Oh, God. To be back there. But anyways, I was just looking around and I love that there's this little pigeon on the cover. And I was like, oh, what's that? Picked it up, saw that it was by a Canadian author. That always gets me really excited. Read the synopsis and I was like, I need this book. I bought it. I brought it home. And then I was having a really hard time. And I was like, I feel like that book is going to be really calm. I'm going to check that book out. It was like the perfect read. So this is the story, it's nonfiction, but it's the story of Keo McClear and this year where she does bird watching. That sounds boring as hell, but it's not. It's such a beautiful book. It kind of is all launched because she has a scare where she thinks her dad is going to pass away and then he ends up not. And she's dealing with this like anticipatory grief, and which was a term I'd never heard of before. And she's kind of like talking about like when you are fearing the imminent death of someone or something and how that messes you up and affects you. But she's also kind of just talking about her life as an artist and her life as a creator of things. And so it's this meditative year where she just meets this friend who's a musician, so kind of in a similar boat, who's like a little bit of a lost artist. And he loves bird watching, so he starts taking her on these bird watching things. And it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. It has so many good quotations. Like, this is like one of the books that every other page is like dog-eared.
Yeah.
Because like her writing is so beautiful. What's really interesting is that she is primarily a children's picture book author, which I think is really cool. But yeah, it's set in Toronto, which is really fun for all my Canadian peeps out there. It's just, oh my God, I loved this book. And it's one of these books that A, no one has read, and that drives me crazy. Two, I think it's really good for a book club because there's a lot of different moments throughout this year of growth and learning that I think are different topics of conversation. Like, there's a really great section where she's talking about, like, to be a successful artist, does that mean you need to have, like, a lot of, like, a big audience? Can you be a smaller creator? And it's like, that's a whole topic that you could just really dive into with your book club. And there's, like, loads of those moments. So, oh, I love that book. Thank you.
Man.
That sounds amazing. I've never heard of it, but I definitely want to check it out now.
Woo. You should.
Very nice.
Please.
Very nice. Well, I'm going to talk about a book that I have talked about before, but I still feel like it's underappreciated, and that is Miracle Creek by Angie Kim.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
trying to hold it up here. So this book, I don't even remember how I found out about this book, but it fell into my lap and I read it and I loved it so, so much. It is reminiscent of Celeste Ng. So I feel like anybody who enjoys Celeste Ng will also love this book because it has similar themes to Celeste Ng's books. This one is about a Korean family living in America. Like, they've immigrated to America and they have this business, and something terrible happens that injures a bunch of people, ends up killing a couple of people, and it's related to their business, and they're like, oh crap. And so they're getting in a bunch of trouble because of it, and it's a, you know, small town dynamics and all of these people just kind of, you know, fighting against each other and stuff. And it's like a mystery thriller, kind of more of a mystery but also just contemporary fiction, but it takes you on a real journey. There's lots of twists and turns, so it's the type of book that would be fun to read with a book club, I think, especially if you discuss as you go rather than just discussing all the way at the end. Because there's, you know, lots of moments where you could be like, whoa, what's going to happen next? And like, who do you think did this? Because it's all, the whole event was caused by one person, basically, but they just can't figure out who did it. And so it's very fast paced and an interesting kind of book that also has lots of great themes in the background. So I feel like it would have a lot to discuss. So that's the one that I picked.
I remember when you read it, how much you loved it.
Yeah. Like, I already want to read it again. And I just read it like within the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good one. And I feel like it should be easy enough to get your hands on because it's Like, I don't know anybody else who's read it, I don't think. It's a little bit less well known. So yeah, that one was good. Okay, well, you've already teased that the next one is about audiobooks. How about you read the next recommendation, Ariel?
Yes, this next one comes from how do you pronounce this name? I know, I can imagine it. M-O-I-R-A. Moira. Moira. Thank you, Moira. My mouth is like not used to, I love that. I love that name there. All right, Moira says, I have learning difficulties and I'm at university, so not a whole lot of time to read all the books I want to read, but last year I started to get into audiobooks. I've mainly just been listening to non-fiction, even though I would normally prefer to read fiction, struggling to break the barrier into fiction audiobooks. Don't know why. Which fiction audiobooks would you recommend? My favorite fiction books, which I read last year, were American Gods, The Secret History, and My Year of Relaxation. And she specifies, nothing too heavy, though, because I'm trying to be productive at the same time.
Got that, Max?
I know. I'm like, okay, I did. I'm glad they put that in there, though, because it informed my recommendations, because, of course,
yes,
I feel like
absolutely.
By default, mine might be more on the hard-hitting side.
Take it away, well, Max. You start it off.
Okay, so I related to this because I have like a new... I've listened to a fair amount of audiobooks in my day, but very sporadically. Like, I don't feel like I'm a consistent audiobook consumer until this year when I finally got into using Libby, which is like what my library uses. And it's just like such a beautiful app for like listening to audiobooks, and it's so easy to use. So I also tend to read nonfiction, especially things that the author reads themselves on audiobook, because I just find that it's like listening to a podcast, like listening to someone first person tell their story or tell their like research or whatever. It just feels easier to consume than like a fiction novel told from like a different perspective, where I'm like, okay, I really have to focus. So I kind of broke it down into like tips for getting into fiction on audio, because that helped me think about, like, I looked back at what I'd listened to that was fiction, and I was like, okay, I feel like there's sort of buckets of ways of listening. So the first one I would say is, I don't know if this is for everyone, but for me, I found like listening to celebrity narrators read fiction helps me, because it's like this familiar voice. I don't know why that helps me, or it's because they're reading books that are kind of like classics. So like there's something about it that you already are aware of, and that makes getting into it easier, because it's always like the getting sucked into it and like grounded in the story. That's the hard part for me listening to fiction on audio, because if I feel like I missed something early on, then I'm like lost. I need to just like start over or read the physical book.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
So I found like, which maybe Ariel, you can listen to Anne of Green Gables, because Rachel McAdams.
Yes, Rachel McAdams.
And it's awesome. Oh, that's how gosh. I've only ever read one of those books in the series, and it was the first one I listened to Rachel McAdams read it, and I loved it. And also it's like a children's or young, you know, middle grade book, so it's not hard to follow. And like Anne is just like really the main character, and so I would say finding a narrator that you like or a celebrity narrator can help. I also listened to The Bell Jar.
It's a good tip.
And Anna Karenina, both read by Maggie Gyllenhaal. And she's great at it. So actors, I also obviously make sense to translate to fiction or narrating, because they're like so good at expressing their voice, like emotion and stuff. So I would say that, or rereading books that you've read before in audiobook format, because you already know it, and that helps you. Like, I think it's just about training your brain to like listen to fiction, because I remember when I first started listening to, like, even listening to podcasts in general, like maybe 10 years ago, like getting, when that started to become a thing, I was like, I'm a visual learner, or like I have to have a tangible thing, so listening and retaining information is like something I had to train myself to do. And so I think you can do it, you just have to find the ways in. So I think re-listening to books that you've read in physical form can help you, because you're like, I already am familiar enough that I don't have to worry about catching everything, but I can just practice the art of listening. So I would say those aren't really recommend. I mean, I guess I did recommend some books, but that's going to change from person to person. If I was recommending an audiobook that I listened to recently that was fiction that was really great, was The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Deesha Filyaw. Because it's a short story collection.
I've heard so many good things about that.
Yeah. It's incredible. I like, the book itself is incredible, but the audiobook was great because she really performs the stories. Like, they're not just readings. They're like performances. Like, it's just one narrator, but she does such a good job. And they're short stories. So, like, if you don't have either the attention span to listen to a 10-hour audiobook, you want to get into reading fiction on audio, I think that short stories, I've never even thought about it before. Like, that was the first time I've ever listened to a collection of short stories on audio. And I was like, why have I not been doing this sooner? It's like a little podcast. Yeah. Like, it's just like a small consumable story. I think the longest ones were maybe like 45 minutes and then some were like 10. So it's like, it gives you that satisfaction. And the whole collection, I think, was like 3 or 4 hours. So it's not daunting. Yeah. I can't personally, the other tip I have is like, find a length that works for you, because I can't, once I hit like the 12-hour mark on an audiobook, it doesn't matter how much I'm liking it. There's something in my brain that's like, I just need to finish this book. Like, it's like this wall I hit, even if I'm liking it. So I found that like 6 to 8 hours is like perfect for me, which isn't going to be like a long fantasy book. So it's just like, I know what I'd like to consume in audio format, and I find that. So I would say start with short stories because they're fiction, but they're like listening to nonfiction chapters, like short, you know, consumable things, but you're still like, I don't know, training your brain into listening to
I guess another tip
it's available on my library.
Get it. It's
you
so
won't
good.
Regret it. Getting that. It's incredible.
No, that sounds so perfect. I've heard so many good things about it, and I really struggle with fiction audio. This is, you've sold me.
Yay.
I've borrowed it.
Well, what I was just going to say, another tip that could work for people who are trying to get into fiction audiobooks is find a genre that works for you on audio specifically. I found for myself, when I first started listening to audiobooks, I really liked listening to mystery books and thrillers. Like, I would listen to just like Agatha Christie books, and it was like, wow, this is so cool. So I guess finding a certain genre could really help, because I agree, like, I can't really do fantasy on audiobook because I need to be able to like give myself the time to process like the world building as I'm reading a book, and sometimes audiobooks just go a little bit too quick for that. So yeah, I agree with that completely. Well, Ariel, what did you pick for this? Because I know you have the same problem of not really reading
audiobooks. I really have this problem. So this was one of the ones I really didn't want you to pick, Max, because I was like, really, I don't know what I would do for that. But if you, like, I was like, if we do it, I'm sure I can find something.
I picked this one as a challenge for you as well, Ariel.
I think you did, and I think I may not be up to the challenge. I guess I am reiterating some of what Max has said here, but I really enjoy audiobooks. And last year, I read way more audiobooks than I ever have, pretty consistently. And I think actually it was the advent of me understanding that I could borrow audiobooks from the library that really changed. It was a game changer for me. Also, I found a nice rhythm of, maybe this is a helpful tip, of like doing something easy while listening to the audiobook, because I was like playing a lot of Animal Crossing, and that's like a pretty mindless game for me after 300 hours of playing that game. It doesn't require my brain power anymore, so I could really just like listen to audiobooks while I played, but they were all nonfiction. Like, I was like, didn't I read a bunch of audiobooks last year? What the frick did I read? And I was just going through it. All nonfiction, because that, like, exactly like you said, it is like a podcast. It's often, even if it's not the author reading it, it feels like it's the author reading it. Like, one of the really good ones I read last year was 10 Reasons to Delete Your Social Media Right Now by Jaron Lanier. I finished it. It was only 4 hours. I finished it, and I was like, I wonder if he's done like a TED Talk or anything like that. And I clicked on a video, and it wasn't his voice. And I was like, wait, is this the same person? And I realized, like, it wasn't him who read the audiobook. It just didn't even occur to me that it wouldn't be, because the person who read it was so, like, charming. But anyways, I really struggle with this. So I went with Old Faithful, which is a cheat. I cheated because they, Moira already said that they, liked American Gods. But I just have to be honest, my favorite fiction that I've ever done on audio is Neil Gaiman. And I think it's because it's read by Neil Gaiman. And so I have listened to American Gods. Stardust and The Ocean at the End of the Lane and Coraline and The Graveyard Book. Oh, all of those as audiobooks. Oh, wow. He reads all of them. And I love them so much. And for me, maybe, again, I like, Max, that you started, like, this isn't just recommendations. It's also tips. Because
I thought of some tips, too.
Yeah, maybe a tip that I have found helpful is, like, reading along. That's something that I found helpful just last month when Raylene and I did Emma as our book club book. We were listening to the audiobook, and like reading along helped me kind of just stay grounded. Obviously that's maybe not always an option, but if it is, I found that helpful. And that's how I started to get into audiobooks, by listening to Neil Gaiman and reading along as he read it to me. And then it kind of like built up my stamina so I could just listen to him without reading along. But I just think he's so wonderful at creating his settings. They are so spooky, and his voice is, oh my god, I love his accent and his deep, gravelly, spooky storyteller voice. It's a vibe. It's a really, really good vibe. So I'm cheating a little because they, you know, Moira put American Gods. I'm not being super original, but I really do. Those are my faves.
Well, it is what it is. I think finding a narrator that you love is a great first step, honestly. Yeah. I feel like Max was saying, like celebrity authors or celebrity narrators, or even just the authors reading their own books, can be so special and so good. And I think another key with audiobooks, I personally always put mine on 1.5 speed usually, because I like for them to just be a little quicker. Yeah. But if you find an author that you just like love their voice, sometimes it might be nice to just listen to it on regular speed and just enjoy it the way it was meant to be enjoyed, right? So I think that could be a factor in us having trouble with fiction as well, at least for myself. Sometimes I think I try and speed through it too quickly and I just miss everything. Well, okay, I guess it's my turn. So the first book, I have two. The first book that I wanted to recommend is one that is actually narrated by a celebrity. That's all I was going to say, a celebrity. And that is The Deep by Rivers Solomon. This one is narrated by David Diggs of Hamilton fame. I've never seen Hamilton, but I know that's where he's from. And he is also very cool. He's in a musical group called Clipping, which is like an experimental rap group. They wrote a song called The Deep, which was then turned into this book by River Solomon. So it's a very cool book for that reason, which I think is a fun reason to listen to it on audio, because it literally came from audio to begin with. And David Diggs, like I said, he narrates the book, and he is very good at narrating the book because he is an actor, as we've said. It makes for a really great audio experience because he just fully, you know, fills the whole story into your head, and it's just so wonderful. So I highly, highly recommend this one on audio. And another thing I realize I really like in audiobooks is when they have multiple narrators for, you know, to kind of draw you into the story. It almost feels like you're listening to a radio show or something.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it gives such a special feeling to it. And so one that does that really well is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. This is one that I listened to on audiobook, and it just was so, like, it just I got encapsulated into this book. I didn't want to be outside of the story ever. I was just so intrigued because it felt like a real, it almost felt like nonfiction when you're listening to it. It feels like you're hearing this history of a person who really existed. And yeah, so I really like that. So I enjoy books that have many narrators. I think that's a cool thing. Another one I actually just thought of is The One by John Mars, which has been made into a Netflix series now, but the book, super, super interesting. And that one has 5 different narrators, I think. So, yeah, I feel like we've given lots of really great tips on how to listen to audiobooks. So hopefully those recommendations worked for Moira. We gave so many different options. So I hope that she enjoys that. And Ariel, hit us with the last one. We've got one more to go.
I'm really excited about this one, actually, because there's so many ways to take this. So this comes from Carlene. Can you recommend a book based on your favorite musical album? So music, we're talking music, ladies and gentlemen. I want to listen to the music and then read the book for maximum emotional impact. This is so fun. We're like assigning giant homework here. You have to listen to an entire album and then you have to read an entire book. Oh my god, this is fun. I'm also curious if me and Raylene picked the same thing.
I think we might have. What?
I
think we have the same favorite album.
We may as well just say it. Did you pick Oh My Heart?
Of course I picked Oh My Heart. Yeah, it is the greatest album ever written.
By Mother Mother, for those who don't know. Mother Mother has been mine and Ariel's favorite band for like 10 years at least.
Yeah.
You know, probably more than 10 years. I've been listening to them since I was in grade 9 or 10. You know, little wee high schooler me. And I know that you did the exact same thing, which is just so crazy.
Yeah, I remember this is like a throwback to Raylene Ariel Max history, but do you remember that video we filmed in a VidCon hotel room where it was like Raylene pitted you and me against each other, Max? And she was like, which friend knows me better or something like that? And there was like a bunch of questions. And like, I remember it was the band, like, who's my favorite band? And I shouted Mother, Mother with so much passion and fervor because I was like, it is Mother, Mother.
It has to be.
You still won though, Max, which I am bitter to this day about, but that's fine.
It's okay. This is an important aspect of your relationship that I have no, like, knowledge of. I don't remember this question in our game, but I don't even know who the band is. Who is Mother, Mother? Like, is there...
Are they Canadian? They're from the Vancouver area, and they're kind of strange, but they've become really famous recently because of TikTok. I don't know what happened, but they blew up.
I feel really, really, really conflicted about it, you guys. It's like a giant existential crisis because I am so obsessed with this band, have been for, like you said, really, literally 10 years. And so on the one hand, of course I want all of the success. I want them to be giant and successful. But on the other hand, I'm like, for example, they announced a giant US Europe tour with no Canadian dates. And I was like, but you're a Canadian band. Like, you started here. You always did Canadian dates. And like, they're like, don't worry, we'll announce some soon. And I'm like, I'm just offended that they weren't there at the beginning. I was like, you're getting too big. Anyways,
I'm also sad because now I won't be able to go see them at the weird tiny little theater that I saw them in one time. Yeah. I'm going to have to go to a big venue and it's going to cost more money.
Oh my God. It's all changing. The world is changing because the TikTok generation loves them. And I get why. I don't know. Oh God.
They're so great.
Max, what is your favorite album? And what book did you pick for
it? Wait, did you give your books, though? Are you going to...
We'll do it after.
Okay, we'll do it after. I want you to go first.
Who is Mother... I need to look this band up. I feel like I still have no idea based... Not that you have to, but describing, like, what kind of music they are. Like, who would you compare them to?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is... We've got to do it. And this is kind of nice, really, in that we're doing the same band. So, yeah. I would say Mother Mother is an alternative rock band.
Okay.
It's really hard to categorize because I think they are quite experimental in their sound. They don't sound really like any other band, which is part of why I would just put them in that alternative category. I know, Raylene, you compare them to Glass Animals a bit, but I don't really like Glass Animals, so I don't really the same vibe, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, Mother Mother is fun because there's like three lead singers, basically. Like, there's the main singer is Ryan Guldamon, so the main singer is a guy, but then his sister actually is in the band as well. She's one of the singers, and then there's another female singer, and so they have a very different sound, kind of, just like,
yeah,
I don't know, and their voices are all very different and interesting, like different from any other singers you've ever heard.
They do a lot of harmonizing. A lot of, like, exciting pops and, like, a lot of rhythmic stuff. Like, I find their stuff is really, like, rhythmic. Oh, God, they're so good.
And they use banjo sometimes, and that really gets me going. But not all the time.
Not all the time, but sometimes. And, I feel like CJ is editing this right now. He can put a little clip in for the people at home, just, like, 20 seconds or something, so that people can see what we're talking about.
Gosh, I wonder which song he'd pick.
But I mean, maybe since we've talked so much about Mother Mother, we should do our recs and then we can finish off with Max because Raylene, what did you pick and why did you pick it?
Gosh, this was honestly so difficult because, like you've said, Mother Mother is unlike any other band, and I feel like it's hard to like sum them up, especially this album. Totally. However, I do have a book that I think of whenever I hear Hayloft from that album, and so I felt like this is the book that I had to recommend, and it actually kind of fits with some of the other songs as well. Anyway, without further ado, I picked How I Live Now by Meg Rosoff.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, you can see it probably, because this book is about a girl named Daisy who is kind of forced to go stay with her cousins who live in England. She's from America, and she is forced to go stay with them for a while. She doesn't know them at all, so she's kind of thrown into this new place, and then essentially World War III breaks out, and so she's stuck with her cousins, and her aunt is somewhere else, so it's just a bunch of teenagers trying to survive in this crazy time. But then there's also some love that happens, and yes, I did mention she's staying with her cousins, and those are the only other people in the book, so if that tells you anything. But yeah, it's a very interesting book, and kind of chaotic and kind of polarizing, which I think is also very mother-mother.
Yeah!
So, you know, so I feel like this book, for a lot of reasons, just works, and there's an actual scene that involves a barn, and so every time I hear Hayloft I think of the barn, and it's just a lot. And also the movie is great. Saoirse Ronan is the main character, and I love Saoirse Ronan, I love mother, so it all kind of just comes together in this pyramid of wonder for me. So yeah, this is what I ended up picking. Who knows if it makes sense, but it made sense to me.
Yeah, I feel like this is really personal, because it shows kind of what aspects of the music you're connecting to, and also kind of like a visual almost representation of that scape, of that feeling, of that mood. The book I picked is Bastard by Max de Rédier. Yes. Do you feel it? Feel it? Okay, that's really good. So this is a graphic novel, and Max, I can flip around just to show you the inside. So the inside is a very simple, punkish kind of vibe. So the actual drawing style is a little alternative, but then also the story I think really fits it really well. So basically it's the story of a mother and her son, and they're on the run, and they I don't want to spoil anything, but basically they've like stolen a bunch of money and they're trying to get away from stuff. They're fugitives on the go, and it's kind of like, you know, middle America, not really like anything fancy, nothing glamorous, it's just on the road, a big old mess. Fugitive. I feel like Fugitives is that thing that really gets me. A bit punk rock.
Yeah.
Ah, god damn it. I love that book and I love that album.
Right? It's all also right. Like, but it's like about love and like being connected to someone deep down, which feels very Oh My Heart as well.
Yes. You have to listen to the album, Max.
I will. I mean, that's awesome.
If we didn't pitch it here, what have we done? All right, Max, you're finishing off the podcast. Wow. What is your favorite album and what book did you pick?
This was such a challenge, but I wanted to use this question because I love music. Like, if anyone's followed me on social media for like the last however many years, I share a lot of music recommendations. And like when I used to make videos, I used to do like music, movie, book wrap-ups, like including things that came out that I like. So I love following artists and stuff. But finding like a pairing that made sense, because it's not like logical sometimes, like it's sort of a vibe.
No.
So it's like finding the book that vibed was really challenging, because like some of my favorite albums, I was like, I don't know if I've even read a book that I could, you know, pair with this album. So the one I went with is probably in my like top albums. It's by Joni Mitchell, fellow Canadian. Woot woot. I love everything she's done, but her eighth album. It's called Hejira. I don't know if you'll have it somewhere to spell that, but it's if you look it up, it's got like it's cool. It's got like this photo of her in like this cool cape and beret, but then overlaid on top of the black and white photo of her is like a photo of like a road driving up into the distance.
Oh yeah. It's cool.
And the whole album is very like road trippy. Like it's got I think she wrote it after driving across like from New York to LA, like classic like artist searching for themselves on the like open road. And classic. The vibe of the album, even if you didn't know that, like definitely gives off that vibe. It's got like a lot of influence and sounds of like the Southwest of the United States, like a lot of like deserts, and like it just has a very like open, free sound, but then also kind of that sound of like tires like going like rotating and like kind of that rhythmic kind of like, you know, when you like zone out on the road and you're just kind of like in the rhythm of it, that's kind of how I feel like this album is for me. And it's like a really, I don't know, it's just like got a very specific vibe.
I was driving across the burning desert when I spotted six jet planes leaving six.
So I was trying to think, like, how do I pair a book to that? And I thought of, like, a book that gave me, like, that sense of freedom and openness, and it happens to take place kind of in the southwest area. And so I chose, I don't have a copy of it with me, surprisingly, but All the Pretty Horses by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically a story about a 16-year-old boy who kind of abandons his like, I think his father or grandfather dies, like the owner of the, this takes place in the Southwest, like, I don't even know, like the early 1900s or something like that. So it's got like that sort of separateness where, you know, it's very much like of its time. And he's able as a 16-year-old to just like hop on a horse and like leave and like go search with his best like friend, who's kind of the comic relief, like go on this trip and journey. And it's the first in a saga of books too, so it kind of has this like monumental, like it kind of kicks off the story. And there's a lot of, you know, the same imagery that this album portrays. And I just think it kind of, both the album and the book, I feel like grapple with sort of like the romantic aspect of like being on the open road, but also like the hard realities of like being on the road. Like, so it's like not all one way or the, it's very like gray area type of, and I feel like Cormac McCarthy does that well. Like, it's got that sort of cowboy western vibe, but like he has a lot of like more new, like hard hitting, it's not like this glamorized version of the lifestyle. So those are my recommendations. That was a really tricky but creative prompt that I enjoyed like thinking about for a while. I was like, which album, because I don't think that's my number one album of all time, but I felt like the one that I could find a pairing with, so it was a good challenge.
Yeah, that was the tricky thing for us, is like that's just been my favorite album for the past decade and nothing will ever change that, I don't think. And so I was like, I have to come up with something for this album.
I know that was a long I'm long-winded.
It was a long journey. I feel like we talked about a lot of stuff. This always happens when we have a guest. We just like go on tangents and it's lots of fun.
It was great. We just go a little wild and
it's cool. Well, that was super good. Thank you so much, Max, for coming on the podcast. We have, you know, like I said, we've been dying to get you on. And it was fun, just like I thought it would be. We talked about lots of cool books, so that was awesome. And so that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much to everyone who's listening. Thank you, Max, for being here once again. And we are now off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books on Bucket, which coincidentally we actually already recorded and it's really great. So for any patrons who want to go listen to it, well, the question that we started out with was, are there any authors that you want to read more of their books and you, whatever, maybe haven't read them yet? And then we kind of go into a wild tangent and it ends up being a really wonderful Otessa Moshfegh fan club, so highly recommend that if you want to go give it a listen. It's probably the longest Books on Bucket we've done ever, possibly.
I think so.
It felt good, we were there for a long time, but it was really fun. So yes, go off and listen to that, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye,
bye.